TSN joins us. Butts, how you doing? How much does pickleball racket cost you nowadays?
Hey, listen, for us professionals, you know, they're specially made for us out of, you know, composite materials, you know, probably $500.
Oof, geez, that's a legit bus, hey?
I'm totally
no waste
kidding.
Around, man.
You can get a good racket. You can get a good pickleball racket for $120.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, so, hey, you have to add in a little to the 100 we won, so that's all right. Kirk, you
I
know,
just want to warn
it's
you. I'm going to warn you right
yeah.
now. My wife now, a good friend of ours, just became the executive director of Pickleball Canada. My wife is on the board of Pickleball Canada now. She just heard your comments. You're in trouble.
I love it.
Get in trouble with her.
Jeez. Fantastic. Oh, this now. So if she's on the board, like, is she, like, does she wax the floor with you?
What am I going to say? No, I'm going to try to be all brave. Yeah, like, you know, that was one of those questions where I had no chance. Good on you, interviewer. You win an award for that, Greg. You're a nice move.
Craig, the Oilers and the Jets, it was, you know what, some people felt, there wasn't any fans, maybe there's a lack of emotion. Well, you know, I didn't really buy that, and then we saw what Montreal and Toronto did. They had no fans either. Like, you know what, it was a cautious game, really, on both sides. Like, it's not like Winnipeg did a lot, but what Winnipeg did was they didn't allow, I think, Edmonton to play to their strengths. So you're the Oilers tonight. If I'm Dave Tippett, I'm loading up McDavid and Draisaitl, because my team's been good enough defensively since February 1st, fifth best in the NHL. They don't give up a lot of goals. I'm playing McDavid and Draisaitl tonight because I know when they're together, they dominate.
Yeah, hey, listen, and do you have to play them together all the time? No. I love how Dave Tippett works the second period change in his favor. He's so good at taking advantage of that change and, you know, really, you know, getting McDavid out there at different points in time, at, you know, getting McDavid and Draisaitl against, and he's always going to do that. I think that, to your point, Jason, and we talked about it the other day, you know, one of the things you said, you know, we took what the defense gave us. Well, if they don't give you anything, what are you going to do? Just be satisfied taking it? No, you got to take more. You got to be a pig at the trough. You know what? There's never too much you can take. And, you know, for the Edmonton Oilers, I thought that they, satisfied is the wrong word. I think they settled into a game. It was tactical. It was chess-like. And then their options narrowed. And I think they got to open up their options. You know, you sent out a tweet yesterday about the Colorado Avalanche. Colorado Avalanche, they open up every part of ice because everybody's attacking and they're not just looking for McKinnon. I think that's what the Edmonton Oilers have to do. And I agree. The more you have the duo of McDavid and Draisaitl playing together, the more you put Winnipeg back on their heels.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because you look at the way that the game wasn't bad, but it just wasn't good enough. So how do you get a group to think, okay, we got to find like another level of intensity? Because quite frankly, it's, if we just keep like that, Winnipeg wants a game like that.
You nailed it, in my view, Jason. It's because, like, okay, so are we going to give them what they want, or are we going to give them what we want, right? And those are two very different things. And, like I get into my head, and Jason Gregor, you just made the comment about defensive play and everything. It goes, you know what? Play on your toes. Get after them. Put them back on their heels. Make them defend you. Don't just settle in and say, oh, they're defending us and this is how we're going to play. And Jason Strudwick, you're right. Like, how do you do it? But I think it starts with, we're going to attack. You know, one of the interesting things, and I'm watching some of the games and watching the Florida-Tampa Bay series specifically, it doesn't matter where they are. When they get the puck, they get into attack mode. And it reminds me of the 2016 Finnish team at the World Junior Tournament and Jukka Jalonen, who was a coach. And he told me this before the tournament. He said, we're going to attack from the minute we have the puck. We're going to attack. It doesn't matter when we have the puck. He goes, I don't care if we're in the corner, below the goal line, or we're in attack mode. And we're going to go and attack, 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 attack. And that's what he instilled in his team. The Colorado Avalanche do it. I've watched it in the Lightning Panthers series. And I think that the Oilers can do it. I think they have the defensemen that can skate and get into that mentality. And whether you're getting the puck and you're a release guy as a defenseman or you're skating forward, you can't just be looking at one option, get it to McDavid or move it to Draisaitl, be safe. You know, attack. And I think that's the focus that has to get into their play.
Greg Button from TSN joins us. Pierre-Luc Dubois, Greg, it hasn't been, you know, hey, lots of guys get traded and don't have instant success. It's not been a great successful season for him, but hey, the playoffs is a whole new life for all players. What do you think Dubois is going to add to the Jets lineup tonight?
Well, I mean, he adds more skill. He adds more size with respect to the way he plays. Listen, Pierre-Luc Dubois is capable. And, you know, I don't know how many times we're going to hear it through the course of the playoffs. It's a whole new season. It is. And so what's happened in the regular season, you know, he can put it all behind him. What Pierre-Luc Dubois has is a real significant grasp of a really successful player last year during the playoffs versus Toronto and then against Tampa Bay. And I think, like, if he just gets it into his head, this is what I'm going to be. You know, sometimes I wonder if players, you know, get traded and then they want to show that they're more than they are or they try to do more instead of just, hey, here's how we got to play. I think the playoffs afford Pierre-Luc Dubois to just get back to the player he was and can be. And that is a big, strong, skating player that can create offense. And just as importantly, you know, make life difficult for your opponent. The forwards he's playing against, defensemen that he'll attack and challenge. That's what I think. And I think that coming back from an injury, you know, sometimes less is more. It might play right into his strengths. You know, obviously it goes without saying you want to be as healthy as possible. If he's healthy and ready to go, then I just say, hey, let's get going in there and get playing. But that's the type of player that I think that the Winnipeg Jets are looking for. I think it's the type of player that he's shown he can be really good at being. And that's just what he's got to focus in on.
Yeah, it's a big ad for him. You know, you look at some of the interactions between Pionk and McDavid, you know, whether it was in the corner or, you know, at the end of the period. Is that a slippery slope for the Oilers to kind of allow that type of, I guess, handling of their top player slide?
Well, Jason, you never want, you know, and Neil Pionk's interesting because he's the type of player, right, that, like, you know, you're not going to put somebody on him that's going to go and try to run him. He's quick. He's elusive, right? He's not going to fight anybody or take on anybody beyond his weight class. So he becomes a really interesting player to match up against McDavid. And so now I'm going to go back to what Jason Gregor said. If you put Draisaitl and McDavid together and Pionk's the matchup, just tell Leon, go in there and be a bear on this guy. Because Neil Pionk won't be able to handle Leon Draisaitl. It'll be an advantage for the Edmonton Oilers, which will extend to an advantage to Connor McDavid. And now you can mitigate against that. The other thing I think too, Jason, and you know this, different challenges that come about in real testy playoff series, is that, you know, when you're out there with McDavid, so he's going to be, Cahoon, you know, I don't know if he's that player, but for Puljujarvi, if you can convince him that after every stoppage, you've got to make a beeline to intercept anybody trying to get in Connor McDavid's face. Because ultimately what they're trying to do is get into his space and get into his, under his skin. Well, don't let frustrate them. Get right in there. Cut them right off. Oh, no, go ahead, Pionk. You're going to deal with me first. You know, so I think if you did those two things, you throw different elements at Pionk. You know, Zach Cassian's played with McDavid in the past. It might not be a little bit of a bad task. It might not be a bad ask to task Zach Cassian with that, get him a little bit more invested at different times. I'm not saying playing him regularly there, intercept him. When he wants to get to McDavid, you're not getting him. We're not letting you get to that guy.
Greg Button from TSN joins us, and it is interesting. Like I felt like that a lot of just too easily for Pionk, and I know McDavid can handle him, but it's, as Stratty said, he goes, yeah. It just illustrates to everybody it's open season. They can do what you want in that game. Now we'll look at some of the other series, Craig, and you know, Boston, Washington, it's been extremely close. Can't get much closer than three overtime games, and the Bruins now have the lead. That series and the Tampa, Florida series have been really exciting to watch for me. Let's get to the Boston, Washington series. Is it really just too close to call? Hey, the Bruins, what? They won twice in overtime. So, hey, or is there anything you think Washington needs to improve on?
Well, at the end of all three games, nobody was winning. I don't know if it gets closer than that. Regulation, right? At the end of regulation time in all three games, nobody was winning. That to me is as close as it gets. So we know that overtime comes down to one goal. They're very evenly matched. They're very closely matched. I mean, a blunder behind the net with Samsonov and Schultz leads to the winning goal in game three. But, you know, like, I think right now the Washington Capitals, if they want to find a way to try to gain an edge, I really believe that Evgeny Kuznetsov's going to have to provide it. You know, he hasn't had a great regular season. He was out of the lineup twice because of COVID protocol. And since his return in this series, I don't think he's had much of an impact, if any at all. And I think that he is a player that can give the Caps a little bit of an edge. I like the Bruins' depth. I like the way that Charlie McAvoy is playing. You know, I don't think the goaltending either side is you know, considerably advantageous for one team or the other. So I think it will be close. But for the Washington Capitals, if Kuznetsov can get his level, I think he can tip it a little bit more in their favor. But I see this 6-7 games. I really do.
Joined by Craig Button, talking all things NHL related. You know, flip it over maybe to Florida Tampa. Like, the coach's nightmare last night, unless you win the game. But you know, and it's funny. Like you're Florida. It's every goalie's going. Is there a point where you look at Spencer Knight, or is that just a bridge too far?
I don't. You know, I think Jason, you always have to consider different options. But, you know, he's a young goalie. He's a rookie goalie. We know that. He's got very few games under his belt at this level. But I know Spencer. I know that Spencer, there's two things about Spencer. He's got a real mature, calm, and poise about his game. That's number one. Number two, at a younger age, he's 20 years old, he's a really technically sound goaltender. And, you know, nothing fazes him. He's always played, you know, beyond his years, and he's always played above his age group, and he's always been very successful. So I don't think it's – I think when you mention that, I don't think that that's just something you throw out that you just dismiss out of hand. And he was very good for the Florida Panthers this year. You know, it's always – the Tampa Bay Lightning are good. You know, Florida needed to win that game for more reasons than just going down 3-0. It's because – how many times are you going to get an Andre Vasilevsky play that poorly? And they have to take advantage of it. But I think for John Cooper, you never want to have a game like the one last night. You talk about coaches' nightmares. But it's one of those games where you can come back to your team and go, okay, you want to play like this? Just understand this is how we're going to end up. This is what the end result's going to be. And, you know, it becomes a reminder. And for a championship team and a team that knows what it takes to win 16 games, you sometimes have games like that in the course of a playoff. But it gives John Cooper the opportunity to dial it in and dial it up. And for the players to understand, do we want to go back to Florida 2-2 or do we want to go back to Florida 3-1? And I think it's a pretty easy sell.
Craig Button from TSN. Craig, and lastly, what did you make of the Tavares, obviously it's an accident by Corey Perry. I don't think there's any doubt on that. You know, some people were upset, and he chose to fight Foligno. Obviously, Foligno asked him, and, you know, Foligno's explanation after the game, I kind of agreed with it. He's like, hey, we got it out of the way, move on. You know, neither guy was really throwing a ton of punches in that fight. What did you think of the aftermath there? And how much do you think of Corey Perry's previous indiscretions might have been the reason why he had to answer the bell then?
Well, I mean, so Corey's always played on the edge, and we know that. So, you know, does that come in to a small measure of doubt? Yeah, perhaps. But I don't think that Corey Perry or any player could recreate that situation again if they tried 1,000 times. I just don't. It's just, I think that Carey Price after the game said it's a sobering reminder of how fast the game is, how many times players get twisted and turned and contact is made and nothing happens, and we do end up with a situation that they saw last night. So I don't see anything in that. I dismiss that out of hand. You know, one of the things is that I see that the moral police, the hockey moral police, are out in abundance on social media after that. You know what? Like, okay, you don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it, right? But you don't get to decide. You don't have a say in it. The players are on the 200 by 85. They determine, and they need to understand what needs to be addressed, what doesn't need to be addressed, what they feel has to be answered for or what doesn't have to be answered for. Nick Foligno laid it out on the line for Corey Perry. Corey Perry said, yep, that's good. And that has to do with the situation of the players. It doesn't have to do with any of the hockey moral police outside, because it doesn't matter. And I've always believed that the players are the ones on that 200 by 85 that are in the milieu, so to speak, that get to determine that, not anybody outside of it.
Craig, good stuff, man. Have a good weekend, and we will talk to you on next Friday. Any big pickleball matches lined up?
Against his wife.
We had snow down here the last couple of days, okay, and a little bit of rain. So actually, I'm going to get out on the court and just have a little kind of return to match kind of day today. Tomorrow morning could be a different story. We could ramp up the intensity a little bit.
Right. Have you been cleared, though, since your glasses cut you under the eye and above the eye? Are you cleared medically?
Jason, I'm not sure I'd ever be cleared medically, because they can't determine if the damage was before or after.
Good luck with it.
Thanks. Have a great long weekend.